we are again with At the Table with Gail. Gail's with me. Hello, Gail.
I'm at the table, yes, and hello. How are you, Catherine?
I'm really good, and I'm actually very impressed with myself because I have been making a couple of your recipes, despite the equipment I have at home, which is a bit lackluster.
Yes.
I've still been able to have some successes.
I'm really pleased about that. You told me you made the orange cake with the whole orange.
Yes. That was absolutely beautiful. And a tip for the listeners out there is I boiled the oranges.
Good.
For 30, 40 minutes.
Oh, that long?
Yeah, that long. Yeah, apparently you're supposed to do it for 10 minutes, empty the water, 10 minutes, empty the water. But I don't have a pot big enough.
Please don't send any pots in, please.
I only had an Instant. Well, if you do, it's got to be with the, you know, convection style. I only had an Instant pot, so it was like, I'm not going to pour the water out and do it. Oh. So I boiled it for 40 minutes.
If you keep pouring the water out,
because it tastes some of the bitterness. So it's to remove the bitterness because it's the whole orange.
Yep.
So the pith apparently can be quite bitter.
Oh, right.
So it takes it out. And oh my gosh, great. I'm going to have to make that cake a lot. It's beautiful. Beautiful, big, fancy cake.
That's worth knowing.
Yes.
It's worth knowing. So if I make it, I'll remember that. We're going to start off this morning, though, Catherine, with fruity brown rice. And this really appealed to me too because it's quite different. And I think you could have it, it's sort of like salad-y really, but because it's a fruity brown rice, but I guess you could, you know, serve it hot too as well. But the one good thing about this, you can have the rice, you know, sort of, you can cook the rice well beforehand or have it in the freezer and you can use it, you know, just let it thaw out.
Yeah,
so,
this looks like a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. So we've got 3 cups of brown rice. 130 grams of chopped raisins, 2 teaspoons of dark rum. Well, I was really surprised at that. 2 teaspoons of dark soya sauce, 1.5 tablespoons of oil, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 2 teaspoons of grated orange rind, 2 tablespoons of orange juice, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1 tablespoon of honey, 1 red pepper chopped, and 1 green pepper chopped, and 1/4 cup of chopped parsley. Now, as I was running down those ingredients, Catherine, I thought about my lemon tree because I walked out this morning and there was about 7 lemons on the ground and the possums have eaten the skin on every one of them.
Oh,
I was so annoyed. So I've informed my neighbour and I think he's going to get his trap out and do something about it.
Right.
Yeah. Bit of a shame because they peel them, but, you know, you don't want to be using anything that's been touched by a wild animal. Yeah, but anyway, I just thought of that, and I thought, gee, if I don't get onto this, possums are gonna strip my tree bare.
I didn't realise you had so many possums here. I thought we were getting rid of them.
Well,
sending them back to Australia where they belong.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, there's a lot of trees around my place at the back. So basically, I think they just do a hop, skip, and a jump, you know, from the neighbours over to me.
Oh.
But anyway, we'll get on with our fruity brown rice. So what we're going to do is cook the rice in a large saucepan of boiling water for 30 minutes and then drain it and then combine the raisins. This is easy. Rum, soya sauce, oil, cinnamon, orange rind, juices and honey, and stand while the rice is cooking. Okay, that's if you haven't already got cooked rice, in which case you would do this, you know, a little bit in advance. Then you're combining the rice and adding the raisin mixture to the serving bowl and stir in the peppers, so the peppers are raw, and parsley, and refrigerate covered until serving time. How easy is that?
And sounds really delicious.
And a lovely mixture of ingredients there.
A really nice mixture.
And that's what appealed to me, and that's why I thought, yes, we're going to do that that rice dish today. And that little bit of rum in it, that'll be interesting.
What's going on there?
Yes, I think it could be a good Christmas dish.
Yeah.
But we're a long way from those yet, long way. But anyway, that's the fruity brown rice, and I thought it'd be interesting, and it's something I might be able to actually make that this weekend.
I'm going to make this as well. This sounds really good.
Ah, that's interesting. Yes, okay, so close the book and move on.
Yeah, she's seen other recipes.
Yes.
She's got distracted.
Now, this one appealed to me, and I know it's weird, but this is called potato ginger cake.
Yeah, I'm confused about this one. What's going to happen?
Well, honestly, there's the recipe next to it is a potato chocolate cake.
Okay.
But anyway, I decided to go for the ginger cake because I think I've done a beetroot chocolate cake before, you know, which is really interesting because I was given a piece of chocolate cake that had beetroot in it. I didn't know it had beetroot in it. But anyway, it was really nice. And she said, oh, well, that's got beetroot in it. And I said, well, honestly, you can't taste it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome.
Yeah. But this now is a potato ginger cake, and we need 185 grams of butter, a third of a cup of brown sugar, 2 eggs, a third of a cup of golden syrup, 3/4 of a cup of self-raising flour, 1/3 of a cup of plain flour, 2 teaspoons of ground ginger, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and of course, here we go, 1/2 cup of grated raw potato. So I'm not sure. Well, it's obviously going to be cooked, but I'm not sure about the texture. But anyway, that's what it says. So for the lemon icing, we've got 1.5 cups of icing sugar, 1 teaspoon of butter, and of course, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice approximately. So what we're going to do, this is actually cooked. I know it's called a cake, but it's actually cooked in a loaf tin. So you're lining a loaf tin with, you know, greasing it and putting the paper at the bottom to make sure it comes out. Cream, butter and sugar in a small bowl with electric mixer until light and fluffy. Beat in the eggs one at a time and beat until combined. Gradually beat in the golden syrup. Transfer the mixture to a large bowl and stir in sifted dry ingredients and the potato. Pour into a prepared pan, bake in a moderate oven for about 1.25 hours. Now, my moderate oven is about 180 or 175. That's what I call moderate. Stand for 10 minutes before turning out onto a wire rack to cool and spread the cold cake with icing. So with the icing, all you're doing is sift the icing sugar, because we don't want lumps, into a small heat-proof bowl. Stir in butter and enough lemon juice to make a stiff paste. And that's what happens when the lemon juice seems to, you know, sort of make it quite sort of stiff. But stir it over hot water. I haven't heard of this before, but stir it over hot water until the icing is spreadable. So you're just putting that, I suppose you can actually just put a bit of hot water into a small pot and then just mix this in it. I don't know, it sort of must melt it
just helps
a little
it
bit. Just helps it, yeah, a bit smoother.
Oh.
And then you're putting it over the potato ginger cake. So I don't know what it's going to taste like, but it'll keep for 3 days. So hopefully you will eat it by then and keep it in the fridge.
Do you know what? Because it's got potatoes in it, maybe they've done this especially for St. Patrick's Day or something. Good one for St. Patrick's Day. The Irish have gotten hold of that recipe.
Yes. Well, I was just thinking, don't grate your potato too early, because we know what grated potato looks like when it's left to the air, goes brown. Mm. So just, you know, just grate that when you need it, because it'll look pretty ugly if it's brown. Yeah. So there you are. That's our cake with a difference,
I'll say.
Mm.
Well, we need a bit of a break, so I think we'll have a musical interlude.
Yes, okay. You've thought of anything today, Catherine?
Well, I thought, because we're talking about fruit rice, a fruity brown rice.
Oh, yes.
I thought we'd go for Tutti Frutti. Bit of Little Richard.
Oh, great. Love them.
Awesome. Womp, bomp, loom, bomp, lomp, bomp, bomp, tutti frutti, oh, rude. 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 Oh, womp, bomp, loom, bomp, lomp, bomp, bomp. I got a girl named Sue. She knows just what to do. She rock to the west, but she's the gal that I love best. Tutti frutti, oh Rudy. 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 A wop bop a loom bop a lump bump bump. I got a gal named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. Got a gal named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. She knows how to love me, yes indeed. Boy, you don't know what she do to me. Tutti frutti, oh Rudy. 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 Wop, 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 wop.
Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. Got a gal named Daisy. She almost drives me crazy. She knows how to love me, yes indeed. Boy, you don't know what she do to me. Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy. Tootie Fruity, oh Rudy.
Tootie Fruity. All right, so we're going to go from fruit to what now, Gail?
Well, we're going to go to, well, I'm going to give you first the Thai dipping sauce because to go with it, we've got some Todd Mun Pla, which is basically Thai fish cakes, and they looked really nice and not too complicated. And I thought they looked really nice. It's got a beautiful illustration there.
Let me see. Okay. Yes, yeah. If I was a fish eater, I would go, that looks really, it really
does.
Delicious.
It does. It looks really, really nice. And I do like this type of thing rather than any other seafood type thing. So Anyway, the Thai dipping sauce is, oh, here we go, lime juice. 3 tablespoons of lime juice, 3 tablespoons of fish sauce, 3 tablespoons of water, 2 tablespoons of white sugar, 1 teaspoon of crushed garlic, and 2 tablespoons of finely sliced fresh chilies. I'd sort of, yeah, I think for me, the chilies would be just, you know, reduced a bit. Combine all those ingredients together. This is how easy it is. And stir until the sugar dissolves and serve as a dipping sauce with spring rolls, fish cakes, or crudettes, or use it as a salad dressing.
Nice.
There you are, nice and easy. All those obviously combined together to make a beautiful taste. Now, the fish cakes, 300 grams of white fish fillets, and I'm sort of saying maybe terahiki, you know, so that'd be nice because Catherine's shutting her shoulders because she probably doesn't know all about the different
Not
types of fish.
No.
And 1 tablespoon of red curry paste, 1 teaspoon of fish sauce, 1/2 teaspoon of finely grated lime zest, 1 tablespoon of finely chopped spring onions. Now, we can have just a good, like, pinch of white pepper, or, you know, you can sort of, if you've got a white pepper grinder, you can use one of those. 2 tablespoons of canned coconut milk, 1/4 teaspoon of sea salt, and thinly sliced red chilies and fresh coriander to garnish. Now, these are actually cooked in the oven. So you're preheating your oven to 200 degrees Celsius. Dice the fish, then mince in a food processor for just a couple of seconds. Combine the curry paste, fish sauce, lime zest, pepper, salt, and 2 tablespoons of coconut milk and add to the food processor. Process for a few seconds, and we really do mean that because you don't want to mush, until well combined. Place fish mixture in a bowl and add spring onions. Put a little oil on the palms of your hands, so you know you're not using water, just a little bit of oil, so that makes them sort of slippery, and you can actually then shape 12 flat little fish cakes from the mixture. Place on a lined oiled baking sheet and bake for 5 to 6 minutes. Not much time at all, because we know fish doesn't take long to cook. Do not overcook these. So 6 minutes at the max. Because don't forget, your oven is on 200 degrees Celsius, and that's quite hot. Decorate each cake with a couple of chili slices and coriander leaf and serve immediately on a bed of shredded lettuce with a small bowl of the Thai dipping sauce. And I think that's nice and easy. And it does look lovely, especially with that coriander sprinkled just over the top. Lovely for decorating coriander.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, it's got those long little stems and the little flowers. Just as good as parsley.
Yeah.
Something different.
Yeah, nice.
So there you are. You've got, you know, sort of 2 things there, and you could serve those up both together.
And very nice and fresh
as well. I think so,
yeah.
Too, as well. And the cakes do look lovely. They really do. And they're oven baked, and they look really nice. Better than pan fried.
Mm.
That's what I say anyway.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to move on Because you like, oh, no, you won't like pate.
Oh, no.
No, definitely not. Oh, goodness me. That was a firm no. And anyway, but I decided the listeners might like a pate recipe, actually. And yes, well, chicken livers, not exactly my favourite either. But never mind. I thought you might like this recipe because it's nice and easy. So it's just a plain chicken liver pate. 125 grams of butter. One large onion, very finely chopped. One large garlic clove crushed. 450 grams of chicken livers. 1 to 2 teaspoons of brandy. Now that's optional, but I'd be throwing it in.
Throw it in.
Yeah, throw it in. And 2 tablespoons of parsley, salt and freshly ground black pepper. 100 grams of butter extra and the juice of 1 lemon. So what we're doing now is melting half of the first mixture of butter in a large frying pan and gently fry the onion until soft and transparent. Add the garlic and continue cooking for a further few minutes. Check the chicken livers. Discard any discoloured pieces of liver as they will be bitter. So not that I do this very often, probably about 3 times in the last 20 years, but never mind. But, you know, make sure that they're looking nice and fresh. Rinse under water and pat dry. Add the livers to the pan and cook, turning to brown them lightly on all sides for 4 minutes or so. They should be firm then and still pink inside. Lift the livers from the pan and add the brandy to the pan juices and boil to reduce by half. Place the livers, pan juices, parsley and second measure of butter. Remember, we only used half of that first measure, 125 grams. So you're using actually the second half of that. And put that in a food processor and process to make a textured pate. Now season to taste with salt, freshly ground pepper and the lemon juice and refrigerate until ready to serve. Now if you're going to be serving it any longer, please note that I had 100 grams of butter anyway at the bottom. So quite often when you buy pate or you've made it homemade, there is a little it's quite a little thick topping of melted butter on top of the pate, and that sort of like preserves it and stops it from going dry. But if you're serving it immediately, of course there's no need to do that. But if you're going to keep it in the fridge, and please do put some melted butter. Whether you need 100 grams, it's up to you, but long as you've got that little coating over the top. So because I don't make it myself, if I'm going to, I usually buy it from the supermarket because there's lots of different varieties, of course. But this is nice to have with fresh, crusty bread or crackers or something like that. So it's your choice.
There you go.
There you go. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
I mean, these recipes are easy that I've given out this morning.
Yeah.
So are we running short of time or we got a bit of time
yet? We've got a bit of time. We've got another 10 minutes. Have we got another recipe we can share?
Well, I have got this recipe and it's butter chickpea baked potato.
Oh, hello.
Oh, look, she's come alive again, listeners. Look, the eyes are sparkling. And so we're going to do this, and I'm going to name the butter chicken meal sauce because it is the best. Barker's. And Barker's. I use it, Barker's. Oh. Yeah, it's very good.
Okay.
So anyway, it's I don't know whether that would upset you, Catherine, by using butter chicken sauce.
I don't know what's in it.
Oh, probably okay. You'd have to have a look at it.
Yeah.
But anyway, I use that quite frequently because it's got a lovely flavour, and usually I just add a bit of honey or maple syrup or a little wee pottle of coconut cream.
Yum.
And that sort of, you know, just takes that little tang away. And but anyway, what we need for this recipe is 4 to 6 potatoes, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, salt and pepper, a 400 gram can of chickpeas, and 500 gram Barker's classic butter chicken meal sauce. very, very nice. And 4 to 6 tablespoons of coconut yogurt and chives or, you know, spring onions to garnish. Now, we're heating the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Now, pierce all your potatoes over with a fork because that's what you do with them if you're baking them in the oven. Then rub them over with a little bit of oil and salt. What I do is get an old bread bag and I put some oil in it and I throw my potatoes in there and I roll them around the kitchen bench, you know, so that they all get that oil over them. And you're placing them on a baking rack, but if you haven't got a baking rack, just an oven dish will do fine. And bake for 1 hour and just make sure that when you touch them, they go, you know, like a little bit of a squishy thing. Because that means they're actually cooked. Or you can put a sharp knife in and see that they are cooked. Now, you're combining the Barker's butter chicken meal sauce in a saucepan with the drained chickpeas and bring to a simmer for 10 minutes until hot. Now, how easy is that? And Catherine knows what to do with the...
You've got to keep the
water. You've got to keep the water. Yeah, Catherine knows what to do with that.
Aquafaba.
Yes, that's right. Now, you can either slice across in the top of the cooked potato and using your thumbs and think you can squeeze it and so that pushes, you know, out the potato. But alternatively, cut the potato in 2 halves and lay cut side up. Spoon the chickpea mixture over the potatoes and top with you're not putting these back in the oven, by the way. You'll just bake the potato. You're going to sort of make a cavity if you can with that potato or just sort of sit it on top. And I have seen an illustration of this, but I have not got it with me. And then put a spoonful, if you want to, of that coconut yogurt on the top and then sprinkle it with those chives or coriander, as we were saying before, parsley and ground pepper. Now, if you don't want these to be what I call vegetarian, really, you can actually just put in 400 grams of chicken, beef or lamb mince or something like that into the into your Barker's sauce instead of the chickpeas, and then you turn it into a meat dish. So, and then... if you want to go extra decadent, you can grate some cheese on top and have that too as well. So it all sounds pretty lovely.
It does, and I'm feeling quite full after listening to that.
Well, the potato, of course, you know, one potato with that on top would probably be, you know, sufficient anyway. Yeah. But I just thought that was quite nice, and I brought it along just in case we needed it today.
Yeah, that's a
and
cool
we did.
One. We did.
Yes. So, so that could be on the agenda too, actually, because...
For this week. She's planning out her recipe.
I am, actually, you know, having visitors that would, you know, really go along with that. So I just think I might do that.
You have visitors that have some dietary requirements, like gluten-free, which is...
Yeah, dairy-free.
Yeah.
And fussy, you know, eaters, you know, to a sense, you know. They're not vegetarians, because they do eat meat, but this they prefer to have something like this, and also that fruity rice, which brown rice, I think might be on the agenda. I could be talking to you next program, Catherine, about my successes or failures.
I think that's good, though. I think it's good to share it around because what did happen was the fruitcake that we put up and spoke about a couple of times.
Oh, right.
It's gone a little bit viral, can we say?
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, having said that, I think I'm going to make that. I'm going to be busy tomorrow, but I'm only doing it because I've got, you know, my son and his partner coming down, and I like to do something a little bit special anyway. So I'm going to make that cake that's gone viral.
Okay.
But I'm going to replace the flour with, I've got self-raising gluten-free flour at home, but I'm going to throw in some rice flour and I'm going to throw in some almond meal. And I'm just going to see how that turns out because, look, you can dish that up to, you know, people that are dairy-free and gluten-free.
Can I ask you, actually, if you have almond flour, can you replace it? If a recipe says you need 3 cups of flour, does it equate to 3 cups of almond meal or do you have to do a bit of a...
Oh, I do a bit of a mix.
Right.
I don't think I'd put 3 cups of almond meal in.
Right.
No.
Is it too fine?
I think so. And I think, and the flavour for a start.
Okay.
I usually, if something like that and I want to replace it, I do a real mixture. Because I've got chickpea flour, I've got all sorts of flours.
Okay.
So look, if you put, honestly, 20 grams, 30 grams of each one, you know, that will, and bring it up to the amount that you're going to use, it'll work.
Okay.
It'll work.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do this, though, because of this amazing cake recipe, which we know tastes good, and just see what happens and whether the flavour does actually change in it,
okay.
because I've used those alternative flours. Yeah, yeah. So we'll see.
Well, that'll be interesting because we had a bit of a taste test as well. So you came in last week with your version.
That's right.
You changed it a little bit.
I did.
And then Peter Fleming, his wife, had made a cake for him because it was his birthday.
That's right. Yeah.
So she brought a version in, which was also, both of them were so delicious. We've hoed through both of them.
Oh, okay.
They were both really lovely. Mm. And a bit different from each other.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But so it will be interesting to get this other version as well.
That's right. Yeah. So we'll talk about that next time, Catherine.
Wonderful. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you. Have a good
time.
Yeah, bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air, for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.